Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
All right, so we're going to start out today, tonight, with communion. And I'd like to go, if you got a Bible with you or your app or whatever for your Bible, I'm going to be reading from Hebrews 10, 14 through 20. So first, let's just open up the service with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you brought our family together once again. And we just pray that you bring whatever you want tonight to this meeting. I pray that our spirit men would be alive in us, that we would be tuned in to the music, tuned in to what you want to say to us this evening. And we give it all to you for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So Hebrews 10, verses 14 through 20 is where I'm going to start here. And this is going to be a little interesting because I just found out I was doing this 2 days ago. So have mercy on me. And these two, too. All right, so let me see. First of all, I got to get my apps. You know, you got technical difficulty here. All right. All right, so for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. For all time, then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So when he gave that offering of his body and his blood, when we said yes, we became perfect right there. At that point where we said, yes, Jesus, I receive you to be my Savior and Lord. But only one third of us was perfect. And that's the spirit man. Our soulish man is my mind, body, soul. So our soulish man is mind, will, and emotions. And then so the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. So in the Old Testament, it was, by the blood of goats or sheep and oxen and so forth, whatever. But that did not take care of ultimately of all our sins as far as our guilt and shame goes. So I got to, so in the new covenant, this is where the divine exchange comes into place with man. The old man dies. Our old man died. So that old nature is crucified on the cross with Jesus. So we don't have to carry that around anymore because he took it. He became sin for all mankind forever. And that means every person, he willed that no man would perish, but that we'd all have everlasting life. So when we realize that that means everybody, he didn't want anyone to die and go to hell, but he gave us free choice. So, could Hitler be saved? yeah, Hitler could be saved if he would have said yes to Jesus. I kind of doubt that he did. But there's all of us that have made that decision. Now we're under a new covenant, and that new covenant is we not also get saved, but we get healed. We can get our healing. He died for our healing as well. So that was an amazing thing that was done when he brought his blood to the mercy seat and put his blood on the mercy seat. Everything changed. You know, we were all children of Adam, and we were all, you know, guilty because of that. Because when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, that cut off that perfect relationship with God. And so we all have to be born again, born new. And this is what he's done. And he took the hit for all of us. And so we have to understand that that new nature, that 100% person that you, 100% perfect person that you are in your spirit, because God translated us there, that person is completely perfect. So we can say that we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And that's hard to say, because a lot of us are still stuck in the idea that we're sinners saved by grace, and we're still under this in this sin condition. But you can't say to that perfect creation, that seed that God put in you, that anything that is evil at all. And that's where our identity comes in. That's so important, that way we identify with who we are in our new nature, not the old nature, not the sinner saved by grace. Yes, we are sinners saved by grace, but our new nature is, as Jesus is in this world, so are we. As Jesus is, so are we. And we are the righteousness of God's. And I just want to read this one verse from Corinthians. It'd be 2 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians. That'd be 5 and 17 through 21. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. That old life, we were crucified with Christ. And so all those sins and everything you did in your heyday, you know, when you were wild and crazy, all of those is wiped out as far as the east is from the west. All those sins are wiped out. And he also died for our guilt and shame of those. Imagine that. That's called expiation. Dying for the guilt and shame of all those sins. He died for that too. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So we're supposed to be out there helping these other, our friends and neighbors, family, come to this realization, you know, before they die. We have to have the compassion that God had for us, for the people around us. So we're going to take communion tonight, and you'll just go over to that table right there and take communion and realize that this is the reason that we can have hope. We have our hope in him, and that all of our sins are forgiven. The sins that we did, the sins our parents did, as far as, you know, being part of like a curse, we're freed from the curse of our generations beyond us when we said yes to Jesus. So think, you know, this is a time Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And so that's what we're doing over 2,000 years later, we're saying yes to Jesus, and we're going to take communion and understand that we can get back into our new nature, free and clear and blessed and healed. Okay, we're going to do something a little special. I like to take risks. So anybody of you watched the Olympics the last couple of weeks? For me, it inspires me so much to see people that have just put their life on the line and busted their butts all those years to get to that place, and to see the excellence out there is just amazing. And it inspired me, you know. I'm past that point where I can think about dreaming for the Olympics, but there's things that we can do in the spiritual realm that are just as important, if not more important. And to work at something that hard, you know, we can work without it being legalism. You know, we can dedicate ourselves to God and start doing some of the working the word, working our, you know, what he wants us to do, to collaborate with him to bring fruit from heaven to earth into the kingdom. And so I'll be talking a little bit about that sort of thing, because that's what I'm living. So it'll make sense that way if I just stand and deliver a little bit more than try to fumble through my notes that I tried to scribble out the last 2 hours, you know. But anyway, identity. The identity is the thing that we have power with to do, you know, the impossible, what we think is impossible. But if we connect with our spirit person, which is what we're going to do now in worship, I'd like you, while you're worshiping, to try to get into a place where you're actually getting into his presence. Every one of us here could raise the dead, could heal the sick, could do anything that Jesus did practically, and more, he even says. You do this and more, but how in the world could I do that? Well, guess what? You are the righteousness of God. One third of you is pure, perfect, we were talking about. That righteousness can do with the power of God, through the dunamis power of God that's in us, because we have the mind of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us right now. So that's the mystery of it all. Are we tapping on any of that, you know, or are we tapping on some of it? But I'm thinking that, you know, we have a few, you know, years left. Might as well go for it, you know, give it all we got, you know, see what he wants to do through us and in us. So while we're praising him, while you're listening to the hymns, I would like you to place a draw on God. If you place a draw on God, he's, you know, we have to be hungry. I'm, you know, assuming that people that come out on a Wednesday night are hungry enough that they want something more. They want to find out what can be done here. What can be done with this nagging pain that I've been having, or this angst that's been in my life? How can that be taken away? And it can be, you know, but what we need to do is focus on God while we're singing these praises, because we get into his secret place, the secret place of the Most High, by praise and thanksgiving. That's how we get there. So place a draw on God tonight, and let's see what have you been needing? What have you been wanting in your life? And ask him and expect that that's going to happen for you. So I want to challenge you with that. And then at the end of the singing, we're just going to be quiet for a while and wait on God and see what he's going to bring to you, what the Spirit's going to bring to you. Did you know that you could get healed by the Word of God? You don't have to be anywhere special, anywhere. You can, right wherever you are, you can be healed by His Word. And His Word is powerful. So we have many, many sources of power in our new nature that we can tap into. We have the kingdom of God right inside of us. It lives inside of us right now. And so He's there right now. And so we're going, what I want to try is to just see if we can speak some healing verses out, declare some healing verses for our whatever's going on. And, you know, God's in the room. Jesus is in the room right now. He's in us. He's alive in us. And so we can tap into that power right now through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. So I just want to read one healing scripture that works for me. That's Romans 8. So it starts at 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And each one of you that have asked Christ into your heart are righteous right now. You have the Holy Spirit inside you, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells within you. You can tap into that right now. So we can go to, I want to share what quicken means in the Greek. Okay, so it says, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken also your mortal body. That means your actual body. You've got the power inside of you right now to get healed, because He's given you that power in His in Holy Spirit. So quicken, I want to share with you what quicken means in the Greek, because it's a little bit more than just the surface word quicken. So quicken in the Greek All right. The words, it sounds kind of like this, the Greek word.
Zoapoieo.
That's the word quicken in the Greek. And it unpacks the outline of the meaning of that word. To produce alive, beget, or bear living young. I want you to think of this. I want you to think of whatever affliction you might have right now that you've been struggling with, some sort of thing that's just been nagging at you. And realize that the Holy Spirit can quicken that right now. He can quicken that. He can produce alive, beget, or bear living young, or cause to live, make alive, give life to that. So if you've got something that you're dealing with and you want to deal with it right now, just put your hand on whatever place is hurting you and declare. I declare in Jesus' name that my hip is healed. You realize that Jesus died for your healing too, right? And that He died for whatever that is. God wants you well. So ask Him, not ask Him, but declare it, because it's already been done. You know, the Isaiah 53, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. the chastisement of his peace was of your peace was put upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. That's Isaiah 53. By his stripes you are healed. Now we need to claim that. And a lot of times we pray, oh, Jesus, please heal me, make me feel better. But he's given you the authority to take care of your own issues. You can speak that out as a declaration. You can speak every promise out as a declaration and declare it because it's already been taken care of at the cross. And it's all, he's got it. So what you need to do now is, and we'll turn to Mark, I'm going to turn to Mark 11 for a moment because this is Hagin's favorite verse. I don't know if any of you know about some of the generals out there, but Hagin for me is a really powerful, important preacher that is teaching me how to speak life into existence, to speak these verses into existence. So let's see, where is it now? I got to get back to it. And that would be 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." That's a powerful challenge to us, isn't it? That's anything. You know, anything. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. So what are the conditions to getting your healing or your breakthrough? Belief. That's what we need to do. And what I'm finding out is that the word is so alive that you can read it this time, today, now, and go tomorrow to read it, and you will get some new revelation of understanding of what that word means and how it's actually becoming like alive healing particles. The word has alive healing particles in it that are actually there for the taking. So we need to claim those healing words, and we need to speak them and declare them. Speak them out loud. Hagin's challenge is challenged me to speak the word out loud to the mountain. You speak to the mountain. The mountain is whatever your obstacle is. And you speak to it and you speak at it. And then you believe it in your heart. And Derek Prince, I probably talked to you guys about Derek Prince, first turned me on to this when he, I found out about it. He was a soldier in England, and he was in the war, and he contracted a serious disease, skin disease that they said was non-curable, and he was held up in a hospital, prison, or a hospital where he was stationed, and he was in the desert, and he had nothing but his Bible and his, you know, his faith. And he said, "I know if I had enough faith, I could be healed, but I don't have enough faith." And so, and then he came across the verse, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So he realized, I got to dig into the word, and I got to find all the healing verses I can and start, you know, believing them. And because God told him, because he was taking his medicine three times a day, but God told him, "Why don't you take my word three times a day, just like you're eating breakfast, you know, take it for breakfast, take it for lunch, take it for dinner, eat my word, take my word and believe on it." And so he had nothing better to do. You know, he was stuck in this hospital. So he just kept declaring the healing words that he found in the Bible morning, noon, and night. And it's the persistence of it eventually got him completely healed of a non-curable disease. He walked out of that hospital completely healed. And so many of the people, now I'm studying healing because I want to be healed. You know, I've climbed mountains, and a lot of you know that I'm adventurous and I love to climb, and I got in an accident and I didn't think I could climb again. I didn't even know if I was going to walk again. But some of you saw me crawling up the stairs just to get in here back in, 2018, yeah. And so eventually, I mean, through the prayers of many people and through being bound and determined that I wasn't going to live the rest of my life this way, I started praying and I started looking and researching healing more and more and more. And I went from a wheelchair to a walker to a hiking stick, and then I started moving around. And it was around 2020, I believe, I got to the top of another 14,000-foot mountain. I was healed. God healed me. But it didn't happen overnight. How many of you have been healed in one prayer before? Anybody? You have somebody pray for you or lay hands on you, and then all of a sudden you're healed? Anybody in here have that happen to them? You? Okay, when? Can you share it?
The 2020 retreat.
Yeah.
The mic out. Can I hold it? Is it on? Okay, at the 2020 retreat in Colorado.
Yeah.
We had a dog. We were walking the dogs, and it was weird. He went around me with the leash, and then he pulled me like I was spinning like a top, you know. Mm. And I went down, and it was in January, so I hit frozen cement, and that's pretty hard stuff. Mm-hmm. And it jarred or broke my bone. I don't know, but that was the same day the clinics closed for COVID, so I didn't go in, you know. So my wrist was popped up. It was crooked. And Holly had a word that somebody with the wrist was healed, and it was me.
Really?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. So did what happened? How long did it take till you realized you got healed?
It was instant.
Instant.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, I love testimonies like that, don't you? Has anybody else got a healing testimony that happened to them or somebody that they knew personally?
You did, of your shoulder.
Yeah, I'm going to share that too, but let's hear this one.
So I had started coming to the Spirit of God with my daughter-in-law, and she had really talked to me about healing and all of that, and we were just praying, and I had been having something with my knee, my right knee, and sometimes I have my kneecaps that slide off, and I know how to, you know, I know the maneuver to get them back on, but this was a little different, and I just didn't really know what was going on, and I couldn't cross my legs or anything, and Holly was praying, and Holly or Lori, and I just talked about, you know, we can receive healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go down or anything, but as we were praying, I just put my hand on my knee and said, Lord, I am just asking for this because it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never hurt since. And that was Amen. April of 2024.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, I'll share my instant healing. I had a shoulder cuff injury where I couldn't even throw a ball to that wall. And I was thinking about going to the hospital, you know, and getting surgery on it because I didn't want to be incapacitated. And I don't know how many years ago that was, probably 20 years or something like that. But Georgi and Banoff had a conference where it was like a, you know, full-blown, you know, slain in the spirit kind of event where people were in the aisles and this, that, and the other, and they were throwing out healing out into the crowd. Have you ever been at anything like that? Well, that's amazing if you ever go to something like that. But he asked for shoulder injuries. And so he throws it out there and he goes, okay, lift up your arm, you know. So I lifted up my arm and right there, instantly, I was able to lift up my arm and it was healed. I did, ever since then, I've never had a problem with it. And I was, always a little leery of all that kind of stuff. And I said, if I ever see a healing, maybe I'll believe in healing. And when it happens to you, it's very difficult not to believe that healing is here and healing is now and healing is for today. So I just want to encourage you if you're struggling with something, you don't have to say, oh, God's going to build my character out of this affliction. That's not what your Father God is about. He loves you. He doesn't want you to go through life in pain and sorrow, and it's not your cross to bear because, that's the plan. Who here as a good parent would break their kid's arm to make them stronger, you know? And God is so much, loves us so much more than we love our kids or could ever love our kids. So I just want to... And so right now I've been struggling with the surgery that I had, because the surgery I had was from a car accident, and I busted my femur in half, my right femur, and then it crushed my hip. And so that accident, you know, that is still, like, I've got some symptoms and stuff, and sometimes I have to walk with my cane, or sometimes I have to limp, or I can't do the things that I wanted to do, and I decided, I'm not going to settle for this. You know, I don't have to settle for this. So I'm researching, digging deeper and deeper into more healing to find the answer so that I can go out there in the fall and climb another mountain. Because God allowed me to climb two mountains after, actually three, after my car accident. So much the symptoms are like lies to you. They're like lies from the enemy. And they're to wear you down. And, you know, just, you know, because a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus said, I come to bring you life and bring it abundantly. And I believe that means all your life. You know, all of your life that you're here on earth. You don't have to sit there and go, oh, well, I'm this old now, so I'll just call it quits, you know, it's over, life's over. No, it doesn't have to be that way. So we can keep claiming and declaring healing verses. So I don't know if this is going to work here or not, but I was thinking, has anybody ever declared a verse for healing? In this room, anyone ever, besides just praying, God, please heal my leg, you say, no, leg be healed. You declare it. You speak it. Leg be, I declare my hip is healed. By his stripes, my hips is healed. Thank you, Jesus, for healing my hip and taking the pain away. That's an example of using a verse to declare it against a symptom that the enemy just wants to take you out with. So if anybody has any favorite healing verses and they would like to try sharing that, declaring the healing verse out into the atmosphere for the sake of any of us, have you ever heard of being healed from head to toe? You ever hear that when people say, you know, from head to toe, be healed? Well, let's use that from head to toe and declare that over us all. Okay? I'm not sure where that verse is. or I don't even know if it is a verse. It might not even be a verse. But some of you that have been digging deep into the healing element of our faith, we have so many things. Before I go into that for a second, I just want to say, okay, many people think, well, I just got saved from hell, and so I'll just sit here and live however until the sweet by and by, you know. But there's so much more that we got when we ask Christ into our heart. What do you think? What we are the richest people ever on this earth because of what we have inside of us. So what are some of the things besides just salvation that we have going for us? I'm going to throw it out there. Just say a few things that are that we've got. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 tells you all the riches that we've got. But see if you can just off the top of your head pull up a few. What do you got going for you right now? And this is something that we need to see too, because Philippians chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, that doesn't mean just when things are going well. Rejoice in the Lord when this is happening, when this is happening. And what the enemy is doing is he's taking your circumstances and magnifying them and getting you into this dark place in your head where you're just spinning stuff, all this stuff, and you have to have your mind transformed and renewed into a state where you're not going to take the enemy's lies anymore. You're going to speak life instead of death. If you sat here for a while, do you realize your emotions don't have to take you on a leash everywhere? That your emotions don't have to take you down, you know, into this doldrum place? You can actually speak to your emotions and say, no, I'm not listening to that. Quit whining. Get out of the dumps. Think of, we're all here, right? Think of the thing. What do you have going for you in Christ right now? Amen.
And because of him, I can go there anytime.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so this is a thing that a lot of people don't realize, that we can go to heaven before we die. Okay, that's something that I learned here. I can go straight into the secret place of the Most High. I can go straight in through the veil right into heaven and sit here and bathe in God, and this stuff, you know, is irrelevant. You don't want to come back. Do any of you have that special place every day where you go see him, where you're trying to get an intimate personal relationship with him? If you don't, I challenge you to do so, because you're missing out by not realizing that you can have it every day. 24/7, anytime, you can walk right into that throne room because of the work Jesus did on the cross. And that's such a blessing when stuff looks ugly, when the world looks ugly, when, you know, all this stuff is going on now, you still can live in heaven by going there. Putting on a piece of soaking music if you need it, good soaking music, and then just in your room, you can just go from this to heaven, and he'll take you there. And you know it's heaven because you couldn't have imagined it in your mind yourself. So he's taking you there, or just showing you around to the heavenly realms, or your peace is so solid, so rock solid, that nothing can shake it. That's a goal I'm going after, is steadfast and immovable peace. We don't have to settle for depression. We don't have to settle for a negative outlook, no matter what conditions are happening. And so that's, if you find yourself going into those, slipping into those dark places, that's like a inventory, emotional inventory. Hey, something's wrong. I spoke curses over myself. You know, we can speak curses over ourselves. Other people can speak curses over you. And we have to break those word curses, and we have to say, forgive me, Lord, for, you know, sitting here looking at my life negatively. Look at what I've got. I mean, think of what you've got. You're all here. You got all your senses. You know, think about the things that you do have and praise God for them. We need to thank God for them. I just want to read the Philippians 4 verse that I use for transforming my mind so we can go in daily into the secret place of the Most High. That's such a privilege. Does anybody else have anything about their new identity that they can say that we haven't covered yet, that's something that's very important to them?
I'll just share something on the healing part of it. Psalm 103,
mm-hmm.
I want you to pay particular attention to the order of this.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily just exactly what it says, but the order in which it goes.
Yeah.
I will forgive all your iniquities. I will heal all your diseases. Then I will redeem you from the pit.
Yes, yes. And that's interesting, isn't it? And he says that your sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. I think a lot of us get sucked into that condemnation thing where we think, God couldn't forgive me for this. I'm not going to be forgiven for this. Well, that's a lie, because he said, as far as the east is from the west, so far will he remove our sins, throw them behind his back, forget those sins. So we need to do that too, instead of keep bringing it up when the enemy's throwing the fiery darts at you and convicting you of this, that, or the other thing you've done. No, he's already covered it. It's covered in the blood. That's another important thing, is the blood, isn't it? The blood of Christ. We have that. We have the blood of Christ. We can come into the secret place of the Most High. We can come against anything. Oh, the blood. Remember Lori's story when she busted her thumb so bad? She just kept, her thumb was out of socket and the whole thing, you know. She just kept commanding and standing on the word and standing on the word, and eventually her thumb went back to where it was supposed to be. I mean, it's persistence. We have to be persistent. We have to be daily declaring these healing words.
Yeah, Jeremiah 23:29. I've been sort of thinking about it now.
Yeah, yeah, please.
Jeremiah 23:29 says that my word, says the Lord, is it not like a hammer? Is it not like fire? Or a hammer that smashes a rock to pieces.
Amen. Yes.
So it's like we got to keep on pounding at the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you might say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Well, it might not happen that day. And a lot of people might give up if it doesn't happen after they say it for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You got to keep on pounding. Depends on how big the rock is. If it's a huge rock, you're going to have to keep pounding and keep pounding and keep pounding.
And you may see little bits of progression. Some healings aren't overnight. Some healings are going to take time. But Jehovah Rapha, I am your healer. I am your healer. Yeah. You got, you walk around with a bunch of healing verses in your head, Joe. Yeah. Speak out a few more.
Well, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Yes.
God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?
I declare that.
He does not lie. So
declare that over whatever's going on.
I declare it that when you say a thing, it's true. When he speaks, he doesn't speak lies. He's not like, you know.
Yes, and you speak to that mountain that you're dealing with when you declare that word, okay, right? So you're speaking, hey, you know, whatever your issue is.
Well, it's just nice to know that he's truth.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that gives you a foundation to start with all the other verses that you're going to throw out there.
Sure. And like Holly says, all you need is one verse, and you can beat the devil with one verse. You don't have to be a scholar. you can take that one verse. Start looking them up, though. Start getting familiar with them. If you're not familiar with them, you're disarming yourself.
He watches over his word to perform it.
There you go.
He magnifies his word above his name.
Yes. Amen. Yes. And so you can speak those words to the mountain. You speak the word of God to the mountain. The word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce between the dividing of the soul and spirit. That's how powerful the word is. And if the word says something, it's true. Your mind or your emotions might go, oh, I don't know if that's really for me or if that's true. But the word of God is true. It's a rock you can stand on, and it's a rock you can fight from the word to defeat anything that comes at you, anytime, no matter how dark things get. So I was going somewhere. Oh, yeah. So just as a little experiment, could anybody like come up with a declaration right now of some healing word that's like a rhema word to them? You know what a rhema word is? It's like something that you live with, something that you stand rock solid on. So turn it into a declaration rather than a prayer. You know, a normal prayer like, oh God, please heal my shoulder, you know. No, you know, shoulder. Get back in line. I declare you're healed by the blood of Jesus. You say, healing come, shoulder be well, I can move it. You know, you speak life to it. So you're speaking death to the attack, you're speaking death to the affliction, and then you speak healing and life into your body from there. And then just sit and trust and faith that it's going to happen. And then the next day, you pray it again. You pray it again. You pray it again. You pray it again until, boom, the tipping point of faith. You get to the tipping point of faith, and then the manifestation takes place, and you walk away. Speak it till you see it. Right. And don't doubt it because you can't see it. Don't doubt it because you can't see it. That's what people give up too early. They give up too soon, and don't settle for it. Don't settle for living a bummed out life, you know, through how much the enemy has tried to get you out. You know, get mad. Get mad at the enemy.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
That's right.
And I will refute any tongue that accuses me.
Because this is my heritage as a servant of the Most High God, and my vindication is from God personally.
Yes. Preach it, brother.
He says it, man. He says,
you hear the power in those
your
words?
Your vindication is from me, he says.
Yes. And God cannot lie. Yay. Thank you. I like it when you get on a roll like that. I pick up on it. That's good. So I just would like to move to another place now that we're energizing ourselves up with the fact that healing's possible. I just want, I know most of you have your prayer language. If you don't have your prayer language, just speak, you know, your language to the mountain you're dealing with right now, whatever that mountain may be, whether it's financial, whether it's, you know, a healing issue, whether it's family, whether it's this thing, whatever it is, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental, whatever it is, speak to that mountain and declare that it must go in Jesus' name. And let's then now, as a group, agree that we're going to stand with each other on this faith, that this is going to happen, that this miracle is going to take place in our lives. And we're going to speak in our prayer language for a while on with that in mind, that we're going after the enemy trying to kill, steal, and destroy. So we'll go for a while and then leave it in the Lord's hands. So let's go to in our prayer language now for a while. Expect him to show up. Does not have the gift of their prayer language and would like it, feel free to come and see me and I'll pray with you to help you bust through and get that prayer language. You know, some of you have got the language, but you put it on the shelf and you're not using it enough. That is a valuable part of your arsenal against the enemy. And if you're not doing that, I'm challenging you, start doing more than 10 minutes a day in your prayer language. Get somewhere until you pray it out, they call it. Pray it out. Whatever it is that is the attack, you can use your prayer language. It's a powerful tool to get past anything. He's there for you. Womack says, I don't feel sorry for any of you that have a prayer language and are depressed. You shouldn't be depressed. You got your prayer language. You just keep praying your prayer language until you get to the bottom of that thing and keep going and going and going and going, and you'll find where the issue is. You know, yes.
This might be a dumb question, but when you pray in your prayer language, you have an intention, something that prompted you to pray in that prayer language, but should you be consciously, say you are trying to do that for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, are you bringing yourself back to what that intention is, or can you just speak and that's it? Do you need to be consciously focusing intentionally on that prayer or that thing that you are asking God for?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Are you constantly intentionally thinking the whole time? Do you even say what it is in English?
I think you can go back and forth.
Like, you know, let's just say, heal Sherry's back.
Yes.
You know, and then you're
heal
saying
Sherry's back. Now I'm doing that with forceful. There's a warfare prayer, a warfare tongue. There's a praise tongue. We can sing. It's so diverse. The gift of your tongues is so diverse. If you haven't picked it up for a while, pick it up again and use it for whatever, you know. I don't want to avoid that question. Okay, so you're saying, do you have to stay focused on it while you're speaking in it? I think all you have to do is say it once in English and then start just uttering, because that's pure. Your language is pure. It's like the enemy can't see it. It's like a one-way shot to heaven, to God, and he will he will be hearing it, and you can be sure that there's nothing mixed up with your soulish person in that, because you're doing it from your spirit man. So, no, you don't have to keep this brain on it, because we also have two brains. We've got our brain from the spirit, which is powerful. That's where you get revelation knowledge, and then you have this brain. Sometimes this brain gets in the way so much of what's happening, you know, in the spirit realm. We got to shut down sometimes that brain and let the spirit flow beyond that. So that's a good question. And if you're wondering, just go back and forth, you know, if speak it in English then. And it's good to do 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour, you know, whatever the intensity is of the thing you're dealing with. And then every day, find a way to exercise that part of your spiritual heritage. Privilege. It's a privilege to have that prayer language. And it's very controversial out there in Christendom, you know, to be speaking that. But God, it's a gift. It's a great gift. So thanks for sharing, asking that question. All right, so I'm just going to read this because, you know, we have the gifts of the Spirit. The spirit gifts, that's another arsenal. I mean, tongues is only one of the nine gifts. There's all these other gifts that you could ask for and go after, you know, spirit of knowledge, spirit of wisdom, you know, discernment. Start naming them off. Let's get all nine while I'm talking about it. Okay, spirit of knowledge, spirit of... healing. Healing is one of the spirit gifts. What else? What other gifts are out there?
Discernment,
yeah. Because you can discern. Some people thought, and this is where Womack corrected me, but some people thought that the discernment gift is only you being able to discern what that other person's tongue is. You know what I mean? I was thinking of interpretation. Okay, yeah. Yeah. So you can actually speak your prayer language and ask the Holy Spirit what you just said. Now that's something Womack turned me on to. You know, Holly and Lori talk about the Spirit telling them to turn left or turn right when on the road. Simplest things. The Holy Spirit, where's my phone? Oh, it's right there. Well, thank you. Didn't take me an hour to find it. So start using your prayer language all over the place. Every day, get used to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to you all the time. But, you know, if we just go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that I find is reading the word aloud.
Yeah.
I mean, I once decided to read the Bible out loud. I think it took me 2 years because it's like slow-mo.
Right.
But also the connections that the Lord makes for me between, like, for example, a very powerful one was Psalm 91, verse 1.
Yeah.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, mm-hmm. Then one day he attaches that to Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the shadow, he who dwells in the secret place and the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Okay, when you are in a shadow of a building, of a tree, of whatever it is, when you are actually abiding in a shadow, You don't cast a shadow. It's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dwelling in the shadow of the Most High, even if it's the shadow of death, you don't even see it.
That's good.
You're not even aware of it because you're abiding in Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Safe, that's discernment safe, in safe another place. Form.
Yeah.
That's very powerful because He's speaking directly to you.
Yeah. Amen.